The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 7 through 18. If you'd like to follow along in a Bible from the back of the pew, you can join me on page 896. John 10:7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is God's word.
Amen. As Sarah just prayed, my name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors out in Northeast Kansas City from Life Connection there. Jason was actually out there this morning, and I'm here this morning, so I'm hoping things went all right for him. So I'm really am glad to be here with you, mainly because, like, not only just to be with you, to see all the faces. Oh, there's Jason. To see all the faces. You could tell me later. To see all of the faces here, some I remember, some I don't, and I think that's just how it is now. But also because I love the message of John 10. Like that phrase, Jesus tells us that I am the good shepherd, is one that's really personal to me, and I've just clung to myself. And so I'm hoping this morning that through his word, Jesus would encourage you. And this statement of Jesus being our good shepherd, this metaphor of God being our shepherd and us being his people, being his sheep, is not just confined here to John 10, right? Psalm 23 is probably the most famous, one of the more famous incidences of this in the Bible. Like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so it's a metaphor that God uses over and over again. And I remember growing up, like, because there's so many passages in the Bible about God being our shepherd and us being his sheep, I just remember hearing a lot of sermons growing up, and one of the things I often hear a pastor say as they were preaching through this was something to the effect of, you know, all sheep are just, they're just dumb creatures. I'm not going to say that to you today, mainly because I have been doing my research on the shepherding blogs, and there are shepherding blogs, trust me. They're really into it still. It's still a thing. But they would say that sheep aren't dumb creatures. They're loyal, they remember shepherds, they remember voices, they're as smart as any other farm animal. So when you hear God calling you a sheep, you should not be hearing God say you're dumb, but you should, like, hear God saying you're stubborn, because that's what shepherds say about sheep. They are incredibly stubborn. I don't know if that's better or not. Over and over again, they talked about how sheep were incredibly vulnerable to attack because they were just simply unwilling to change their ways. Once they did something, they would try to do that over and over again. Like, just YouTube sheep jumps back into a hole, and you'll see what I'm talking about. They're stubborn. They keep going back through the same things over and over again. They're defenseless, unable to help themselves. That's the animal that God compares us to most often. And I have three little kids, and I watch all these Disney movies with them now, and something I've noticed is over and over again, the message of a lot of our movies and a lot of our culture is you have this lion inside of you, like this wild beast just waiting to get out. You just got to, you know, just let it roar or whatever. And when I come to the Bible, what God is saying to us this morning is, if you have a spirit animal, it's not a lion, it's a sheep. Because you, and I'm putting myself in here, we try to solve our problems in the same ways over and over again, even though it's never worked before. When we get scared or we get threatened, our first defense is to hide and pull back from people. We're not as strong as we appear to be. We're not as smart as we think we are. We have great limitations. And no amount of posturing, no amount of puffing our chest out changes the fact that in the end, we need a shepherd. We need someone to care for us. And the good news of the scriptures is this, that God is not scared of your sheepness. He is delighted to be your shepherd. He created you so that he would be your shepherd. And throughout the Old Testament, God would set up these leaders. Think King David. And he would call them to shepherd his people, to imitate his love and care for his people the way he would. But as you and I know, anytime human beings come in touch with power, it corrupts. Or it can. There's been some podcasts out there that have done really well, just talking about how churches have been just destroyed by shepherds acting like thieves and wolves. And that's what happened in the Old Testament too. It's not a new thing. And in response to that, in Ezekiel 34, God makes a promise to his people who have suffered under horrible shepherds. And this is what he promises them in Ezekiel 34, verse 15. He states, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. In other words, God saying, I'm going to come. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to restore you. And he doesn't stop there. He continues down in verse 23 of Ezekiel 34. He says, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, talking about a descendant of David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. This morning, as we walk through John chapter 10, I want you to see that Jesus is saying to you, to us, I'm fulfilling both of those promises. By Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, he is saying, I am God in the flesh who has come to bring back those who are lost and have strayed. I am God come to heal those who have been brokenhearted and beaten down. I have come to restore my people. And I have come to lead them as their king. I am the good shepherd. And so this morning, my main idea is very simple. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And what I want us to focus on this morning is how did Jesus fulfill that promise of Ezekiel 34? And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask three questions of the text this morning. What does Jesus do? Why does he do that? And how is that effective? So first, in John chapter 10, what does Jesus do to fulfill the promise of Ezekiel 34? The answer is Jesus lays down his life. Jesus lays down his life. Verse 11 in John 10 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. I want you to remember that Jesus isn't talking specifically to his disciples. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. If you go back up to the end of John 9, that's his audience. And the reason that's important is that the Pharisees considered themselves spiritual shepherds of Israel. But they had just greatly mistreated someone who refused to denounce Jesus. And so when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," one thing you should understand is he's saying that in contrast to these bad shepherds. He says, compared to you, I'm good. And really, we could say compared to anybody, but specifically in this moment. And so any kind of contrast we see in the text, the first contrast is going to be Jesus contrasting himself with false shepherds, with the Pharisees. And what he says is, as a good shepherd, I don't mistreat the sheep and I don't run away from the sheep like a hired hand. I stay and I lay down my life. And the reason I lay down my life is that there is a wolf out there. That phrase, "I lay down my life," is set, he says that 5 times in these verses, in these 8 verses. Whenever you see that something like that repeated over and over, just take note. That's important. He wants us to know that there's a wolf, and his response to the wolf is to sacrifice himself. So who is this wolf? I believe ultimately the wolf is Satan working through the Pharisees. Jesus calls the Pharisees sons of the devil in John 8, which isn't great for mending relationships, but he's already made his statement clear of who he thinks they are. But I believe that the wolf is Satan, the same one who in Genesis 3, as a snake, lies to Eve about God to get her to turn her back on him. The same one who in Job is the accuser who tries to get Job to curse God to his face. In 1 Peter 5, Satan is described as a lion prowling around seeking to devour someone from the church so they stray from God. And throughout the book of Revelation, Satan is called a serpent, a dragon, and a beast, all trying to devour the church. And I think here in John 10, Jesus says he's a wolf who seeks to snatch and scatter the sheep. And I want you to understand that he doesn't say he's looking to eat a sheep. He's not looking for a meal. He looks to snatch and scatter them. He wants to take those who are inside God's family, inside the fold, out of the fold. And if you can't take them, he wants to scare them so badly that they willingly leave. That's what the wolf's agenda is. Disunity. Isolation. Breaking the church apart. But he's not the only danger in these verses. The second danger in this verse, in these verses, is the hired hand. And the reason the hired hand is such a threat is that the hired hand acts like a shepherd. But he's not. He's a false security. And so when things are going well and things are easy, the hired hand is there. He makes you feel comfortable and secure. But when real danger comes, the hired hand will let you down every time. I think of the hired hand as this false security, like having money in my bank account. All it takes is for my vehicle to break down and it's empty again. It's a false security. It's anything that we try to find peace and security in outside of the Lord. So for instance, I love my wife. Like, I love her way more than anybody in this room. Right? And I love you guys, but she is the utmost relationship in my life outside of Jesus. If I make her the source of my peace and comfort and security, like the fact that I'm married to her is why I just feel like I'm thriving in life, what do you think is going to happen to me if I have to attend her funeral? Much less plan it. What do you think is going to happen to me in my relationship with the Lord? Thinking that he took her away from me. My relationship, our marriages, our finances, the things that God has gifted us aren't bad things, but they're not shepherds. And if you place your hope in those things, in the gifts, instead of the giver, you're setting yourself up for this day where you are vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. You need to understand you have a spiritual enemy who wants you to feel comfortable so that then he can pull the rug out from under you. Because then in that vulnerability, he can get you away from the Lord. I mean, we've seen this, haven't we? I'm not the only one who's lost, who has friends who deserted the church because of politics, right? I'm not the only one who has friends who betrayed Jesus and pushed him to the side for a sexual relationship, am I? Like, this is the reality of our lives. There are false shepherds, hired hands out there, and they will let us down. And the question that maybe some of us should be asking is, are you listening and resting in a false security? Examine your heart and examine your life. Because Jesus is the good shepherd and he doesn't run. He willingly lays down his life to save us. And that's what he does. And the second question then is, if that's what Jesus does, why does he do that? And the answer there is, Jesus loves the sheep. Jesus loves the sheep. Now, I get the word love here, not because Jesus says he loves the sheep, but because of a few places. First, in verse 13, he says the hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. And the insinuation is the shepherd does. I'm not like the hired hand. I actually do care for you. But then in the second place is in verses 14 through 15, he says, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. So he tells us, I have a relationship with the sheep, and that relationship is based on, looks like, the same type of relationship I have with my Father and that he has with me. It's not like, so it's more than Jesus just knowing your name on a sheet of paper. Jesus is saying, I am personally involved in my sheep's life. I am next to them. I am near to them. I am close to them. And the Father, he says later, the Father loves me. And then we can say, well, if we have the same relationships, then surely Jesus loves us. There is no closer relationship in heaven and earth than the relationship that God the Father and God the Son have with one another. I mean, they've existed together from eternity. And yet Jesus says, I have the same type of relationship with my sheep. And according to verse 16, that relationship is available to everyone and anyone, not just those who are alive at the time and not just to the Jewish people. He says, I have sheep from outside this fold. You should understand he's talking about you. Jesus is saying this morning to you that I'm not far from you. I'm not hidden from you. I'm not off on my own, ignorant of your life or your story or your pain, not even the stuff that you don't like to talk about or would never tell anyone else. I know all of that. And I willingly lay down my life for you. It's a type of love that we want to experience, but are too afraid to really make ourselves vulnerable for. Because we've been raised, right? We've been raised and taught that if I really open up myself and tell people what's really going on in my heart, what I've really done, or maybe what's been done to me, they're going to desert me. Some of that's from experience. And yet here, the God of the universe, the omniscient one, who knows all things, completely and utterly loves you and opens himself up to you to bring you into relationship with him. to bring you into abundant life. And I learned something this week that really brought home the gravity of this to me. So John's gospel was written in Greek, and most of you may know that. Like, we have an English translation. Like, Jesus didn't use the King James or ESV, right? But in Greek, there are multiple words for the word life. And so there's a word for the physical life, bios. Biology comes from that word. That's not the word that Jesus uses, though. When Jesus says he lays down his life, he uses the word psyche, which is the Greek word for soul. Now, translating it to life isn't wrong, but it's important to know that when Jesus says, I'm laying down my life, it's more than just a physical death on a cross. He is pouring out his soul to save your soul. John actually writes about this in one of his letters to the early church. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, he tells them, in this the love of God was made clear among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I don't know how often you use the word propitiation. I don't know if that's like your vocabulary word of the day or not, but that word simply is a word for the type of a substitutionary sacrifice where the one who is sacrificed is bearing the punishment of the others. John is saying, and God is saying through him, that out of love for you, Jesus laid down his soul to take all the hell that your soul deserves. Every time you've disobeyed God and rejected him and mocked him and pushed him to the side, all of the punishment that deserves, Christ took on the cross. And all the ways that you've mistreated others and abused others, all the times you've acted more like a wolf than a shepherd or a sheep, Jesus also took that for you. He has poured out his soul to death so that your soul could live. And he did that because he loves you. And the longer I pastor and the longer I preach, the more I realize this is one of the hardest things for people to believe. That God, he really is sovereignly knowledgeable about everything in your life and really does love you like this. It's one of the reasons God has to repeat it over and over again. Because as sheep, we're stubborn, right? But Jesus is making sure we know that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep because he cares for the sheep. He really loves the sheep. He loves you. And you can rest in that. You can find strength in that. Jesus is the good shepherd. But this leaves us with one last question. What difference does this make? I mean, a dead shepherd is no good to the sheep anymore, is he? So what difference, it's great and good, but what difference does this make to us today? And this brings us to our third point. Jesus lives again. In verse 17, he says, I lay down my life that I might take it up again. I have the authority, the power to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. He's talking about his resurrection. But I want you to look again at verse 17. I mean, do you know how much power, how much hope is found in that four-letter word, that? I lay down my life that I may take it up again. It means his crucifixion wasn't just the end, but it was a means to a greater end, which is resurrection. And do you know what that means for sheep like you and I? I want you just to imagine how this story plays out with me. It's the middle of the night, and a wolf is on the prowl. And he's winding his way through the tall grass. And he comes to this small grove with a sheepfold and a shepherd sitting in front of the door. And he decides, I'm either going to get a sheep or I'm going to get the shepherd, but I'm eating tonight. So he takes off, and the shepherd sees him but doesn't move. He doesn't run. Instead, as the wolf is sprinting straight at him, the shepherd just stares him down. And the wolf leaps, and his jaws are snapping, and the shepherd dies. The wolf walks away full, knowing now that the sheep are helpless. There's no shepherd to protect them. And so a few days later, when his stomach is growling again, he approaches the sheepfold again. But to his surprise, the shepherd is back in front of the door. He doesn't know how, and at this moment, he doesn't care. He thinks to himself, I'll get a sheep or I'll kill the shepherd, but I'm getting food tonight. So again, the wolf takes off, sprinting at the shepherd. He leaps into the air, snapping his jaws, but this time the shepherd catches him and slams him into the ground. And as the wolf is whining and snapping and whining, the shepherd snaps his neck. That is what the word that means in John 10:17. It means that Jesus is alive right now defending the sheep. It's how the author of Hebrews in chapter 7 can say that Jesus lives right now to intercede for his people, to defend us right now against the accusations of Satan. It's how Jesus can say in John 10, verses 28 through 29, no one will snatch my sheep out of my hand. And it's how he can tell his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 that he will always be with them to the end of the age. The resurrected Jesus is our good shepherd even now, protecting the sheep. And in the wisdom of God, he allowed the wolf to win once. And in that one victory, the wolf sealed his ultimate defeat. You and I never, ever, 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 ever have to be scared of Satan. He's a boogeyman at best. He has been crushed by the heel of Jesus. And it's only a matter of time before he's cast away forever. Jesus is the good shepherd. And so the question I want to leave you with today is, like, how are you going to respond to that? How are we going to respond to this news? There are a couple of questions I want to ask. And the first one is, who are you listening to? We're all listening to somebody. We're all going somewhere to find out how to live this life. So who is that for you? Jesus says that his sheep listen to his voice and follow him. And for some of you this morning, you come in and you know, like, man, there's so many voices out there to listen to. And you have followed the wrong voices for a long time. And so maybe you come in and you're like, I don't know where my life is going. I don't even know how I got here. Maybe you're in a really dark place this morning. Jesus is the good shepherd. Follow him. The promise of Ezekiel 34 is true in Jesus. He will bind you and heal you. He will restore you. And he'll bring you back. I'm not saying it might be an easy path, but I'm saying it is a path to the abundant life that he promised in verse 10. And you'll never have to be scared of ever being deserted by him. Turn and follow Jesus this morning. And then the second question I have is, who are you pointing to? We talked earlier about things like who's your one. Like, the goal that we have is we want to share the gospel with others around us who maybe at this point are like the sheep following a hired hand. They're just vulnerable. And so we want to share the gospel with them, invite them to come to Easter to hear the good news that the shepherd is alive today. We want to do that. And we want to do that because it's true. Jesus really did die and he really did rise again. These aren't just ideas or ideals, but they are historical facts. And because that is true, because Jesus is risen from the dead, then there is hope for all who listen and follow Jesus' voice. And so you get to play a role in that. You might end up being part of someone's story about how they came to love Jesus. By simply handing out an invite card, you could be the beginning of a huge change in someone's life. How amazing is it that God allows us to be a part of that? Like, you get to do that. The end goal isn't for larger churches. The end goal is for more disciples of Christ Jesus living in the fold underneath the resurrected Jesus, underneath the good shepherd. And you, as one of his sheep, get to play a role. Let's take that seriously. But even more than that, one of the things I've noticed as Christians is, how do we counsel and disciple one another? Do you point people to Jesus in their need, or do you hand out the same advice they would hear from a self-help book? Because the gospel is real, then our answers have to be different than what the world around us would give. I can't be telling my children they got a beast inside of them if God says they're sheep. Like, I want you to think about this. In Psalm 23, David writes, "Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death," the way our world would, or way our culture would try to answer that is, you can make it through because you're strong enough. You can make it through because you're smart enough. You can make it through because you got your friends with you. Is that how we would answer it? Or would we answer it the way that David did? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Lord, are with me." Like, the good news for those suffering today, whether that's you in this room or people you know, is that you don't need to be strong enough. You don't need to be smart enough. You just need to hold on tight to Jesus. And he'll get you through the valley to the green pastures beyond it. He has fought the wolf for you. He has defeated him. Just hold on. He will comfort you. He will heal you. He will strengthen you. Psalm 23 is true of you in Christ because John chapter 10 is true of Jesus. So I have no idea what God has planned for you. But I know this, that he has promised abundant life. And no matter what you're going through now, our God is not a liar. And the abundant life is coming. The green pastures are coming. Hold on. He is the good shepherd. Don't abandon him for a hired hand. How will you respond this morning? Let's pray. Father God, I ask now that you would be moving in our midst. Lord, we know that you are here, but Lord, I ask specifically that you would be moving to help us take in and respond to your word appropriately. Lord, that we would trust your word, that Jesus is the good shepherd. And Lord, for some in this room, maybe this is the morning we realize that our security, our hopes have been resting in a false shepherd, in a hired hand. And Lord, even as we look back on our lives, maybe we'll see that, that we've gotten here because we have not put our hope in Jesus, but in something else. May you reveal that to us, and may we have the humility to repent and come to the one who knows us and loves us and lives for us even now. Pray and ask that in Christ's name.